Hello and welcome back into Slick Talk. This is your host, Blackstone Joe, and here is episode 30, Going the Distance with the ISB 6.7 liter. We also have a bonus segment, though. If you remember back on our previous episode, episode 29, we talked about Q&A with the analyst, and sure enough, we got in some questions, and I selected one that I'm really excited to tackle. So stay tuned till the end of the episode for our Q&A with the analyst segment. And also, before we get things rolling, we have a little bit of a listener appreciation segment. Wanted to give a quick shout out to a new friend of the program, Kevin. You can follow him on Instagram at Ultra4Jones. That's the word ultra, number four, and then Jones. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Ultra 4 Racing, I highly encourage you to check this out, because Kevin is not just a participant, he's the real deal. He was a certified talent, placing 19th at KOH 2020. That's King of the Hammers for uninitiated folks like myself. But I had to check it out. I had to see what Ultra 4 was all about. And let me just tell you, what these folks are able to do, what they're able to accomplish out there in the desert, is just some wild stuff. And you get to follow everything Kevin does, from wrenching in the garage, getting ready for race day. It's just an incredible process. We're happy to learn about it. We're happy to have Kevin on board as a listener. So thank you so much, especially for leaving a very kind review. We love getting any sort of feedback. So if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or any platform that allows you to leave a review, we highly encourage you to do so. If nothing else, keep feeding us those topic suggestions. Keep letting us know what you'd like to hear, and we'll keep bringing it to you. So last but not least, before we get rolling into the program, we do have a preview for what's on tap. So our next episode is going to be focusing on 6.0 power strokes and 7.3 power strokes. So while we're tackling one question in our Q&A with the analyst at the end of the episode, we got in several notes about the 6.0 and the 7.3, both in response to this recent Q&A with the analyst and just in the past. So we've paid attention to folks wanting to know more about these engines, and for good reason. They're legendary, especially the 7.3. I remember just casually in conversation one time, a guy told me that he found out a buddy of his had a 7.3 in an excursion, and he was just ready to offer him 15 grand for the engine straight up, you know, if it was in good shape, because that's how big of a name they are. And we're going to dig into what we know about them as far as how they look in testing, how often we find problems, what's the typical odometer mileage on one of those things, how long they're lasting, the whole nine. So we're excited to tackle that power stroke episode. If you're a diesel enthusiast, this one is going to be calling your name. So that will be our next episode. But now, without further ado, we have today's main event, Going the Distance with the ISB 6.7 liter. So, for the uninitiated, the ISB 6.7 is an engine designed by Cummins. And with used oil analysis, the Cummins name is one that comes up often, and for good reason. Their engines wear well, and for that reason, they are often ideal candidates for extended oil use. So, this particular, you know, episode, you know, these things, they come to fruition just when I'm doing my daily report writing process. So when I start sifting through my reports for the day, and I start reading the notes and the slips, and kind of seeing what are the concerns, what are the questions, what are people hoping to learn. And this particular instance, the customer was wanting to extend their oil change interval. So for those that haven't tested with us before, if you order a kit, it will arrive with a sample bottle and a slip. And on the back of that slip, we're going to ask if you're interested in extended oil use. And I always want to clarify this often, because sometimes people don't quite know what we mean. So extended oil use is referring to whether or not you would like to go longer between oil changes than you currently are. So it's a cornerstone, I would say, of when it comes to automotive, you know, gas, diesel engines. It's a cornerstone, I'd say, appeal for a lot of people. It's a reason people want to seek us out and they want to know what we know, because getting more out of your oil change is important for people. You know, just plain dollars and cents. People don't want to change good oil if they don't have to. And on the flip side, people want to know if they are going way too long, if they're abusing their engine. So it's something that we help people out with quite a bit. So to set the scene, I was sitting at my desk, and I remember this very specifically. I was playing a Willie Nelson record because I was going through a really big Willie Nelson kick the other week. So a little bit of background. Everyone, I feel like if you're of the initiated, you've probably heard, you know, his Stardust record. You've probably gone down the Poncho and Lefty cover. You know, you probably hit those pathways at some point. But for me, I've always kind of leaned towards his latter day stuff. So I was playing a song that's very appropriate for our time, and it's called Something You Get Through. And it's off his 2018 album, Last Man Standing. And the song is just a really appropriate ballad for our times. It's very appropriate for wrapping up the tumultuous 2020 and then trying to pick up the pieces and just figure out, okay, we can get through this, right? And then one thing that's nice too is I'm then proceeding to look through reports and I'm able to help people solve issues with their engine, with their transmission, help them guide their oil change intervals, helping them get through. And I think that sometimes folks might not understand that we like sending the good news more than the bad, you know? And I think anytime we have the opportunity to guide folks along in their service plan and kind of praise what they're doing, you know, salute what they're able to accomplish, that's what we want. We never want to sit there pulling up data and then just telling people they have a problem and then absorbing all of their money for further analysis. That's not what the writer does when they sit down, myself included. We want to send the good news. And in this case, we had only that for the ISB 67 belonging to this customer. So they had it in their Ram 2500. This is a 2016. So looking at the numbers, this customer was going 5,000 miles between oil changes. And if you're someone who, you know, you've bought a few cars in your day, you are accustomed to just the 3,000 mile oil change, you know, it's still really common for folks to just kind of guide that and, you know, stay by that guiding principle from years ago. But it's certainly not a rule, and especially for these engines in particular, honestly, it's not uncommon for people to be able to accomplish oil changes close to 10, 20, and beyond. Yes, that's 20 with a K. So, still, it's foreign to many people, and we want to guide them. We want to, you know, take these oil change interval recommendations gradually on a case-by-case basis. And for good reason, because this was a customer, you know, going 5,000 miles, but, you know, tentatively interested in extended oil use. And here's a reason why. Their truck is asked to do a lot of hauling. And when you're hauling heavy loads, there is the idea that it will cause extra wear, or, you know, some people will believe that the oil is going to break down. And these are not incorrect assumptions. They're not unfounded. But you have to take a sample and you have to see the way things look before you make any hard and fast calls, because truly, this is a case-by-case basis when you're talking about how engines respond. Because one man's version of harder use is not the same for everybody. And also, the way this engine is being driven, you know, just going beyond the weight. Are you doing primarily highway? Are you doing primarily in town? Are you alternating, you know, is it the same workload throughout the year? Are there alternations? Are there modifications? You know, there's a whole host of things to consider. So looking into the data here, we had two samples, so not quite a trend, but you do see some important data points on engine wear, on how the oil is holding up, you know, from a viscosity standpoint. You know, is it keeping that 5, 15, 40 thickness that you want? You know, if that's what you're running. And sure enough, we had wear levels that were fantastic. We had a strong TBN. You know, for people who don't know, TBN is a total base number. This is a result that goes in addition to a standard analysis. So TBN's $10. You would add that on to a $30 charge for a standard analysis. And then it's how I often describe it to folks on the phone is it is a piece of the pie. It's not the whole pie, but it is an important piece and something you want to have on your side if you're extending those oil change intervals and you are trying to get the most out of every fill. So the customer wanted to know if they were asking too much of their engine to go 6,000 miles. And not at all. You know, we were talking an instance where I was confident going from 5 to 7,000, you know, would have been fine. And that prompted a question from the customer. You know, they were wondering, okay, if I can go 7, well, what about taking it all the way to 15? And taking a more gradual approach is really the key here. Now, I had no issue with the results at that point. You know, they looked promising, and there's no reason to think that a 15,000 mile run could be in this engine's wheelhouse. But until you build a firm average for a particular engine, you kind of want to stray from doubling up mileage or taking any great big leaps. Because more than just comparing to a large universal average, it's way more helpful, more useful to rely on averages for your specific motor. And this is a kind of a point where I want to mention unit location. So if you've ever looked at one of our reports, we have what's called a unit location column. And these are averages specific to only the engine samples you've sent in for a given model. So if you have multiple vehicles, we don't group all of them together. Not unless, of course, you have multiple vehicles with the same kind of model. So we want to get as specific as possible. And that's something I always want to remind people of, because I think often there's a little bit of a misconception where people will say, well, the averages you're comparing to, you know, like, are they every diesel engine, you know? And like, absolutely not. I wouldn't in good conscience, you know, determine a problem, an oil change interval, anything really, if I was simply saying to most diesels, every single customer. That's not as helpful as dialing in the model and then dialing in averages that are specific to your model, because that way we can track how your engine's responding to the use it sees and the changes that you experience, you know, from one oil run to the next. So with this ISB 6.7 liter in question, we're looking at harder use, but use that wasn't coinciding with extra wear. We're looking at an oil that's holding up well. Physically, we're not looking at an oil that's getting too thick. We're not looking at soot accumulations that are just unusually high or troublesome. You know, we're not looking at an oil filter that was used up. Now, when we talk about oil filtration and whether or not the filter's used up, we gauge that with the insolubles test, measuring solids and how much solid material has accumulated. And we're also going to get a decent overview of soot with that test as well, because the insolubles tube, if you're talking about diesel engine oil, it will blacken the tube like normally. This isn't a bad thing. And if there's so much soot that we can't even measure solids. We'll be sure to mention that. And also, we'll be looking for other indicators that might show something like poor combustion, you know, high cylinder area wear to go along with it. But in this case, we're looking at an engine that wasn't merely capable of going longer between oil changes, but one that seemed to be handling it very well. And so we took it from there by recommending gradually extended intervals, slowly working up to a goal, because there's no reason to run the marathon if you haven't run the 5K, if you haven't run the 10K. Yes, I'm always going to bring back the running analogy because it applies. Knowing what you're capable of with benchmarks before going for that all-out goal is important. Same with an engine, same with a runner. The human body, for a lot of people, might be capable of doing a marathon. And for, you know, there are going to be various humans out there who are capable of doing an ultra marathon. Does that mean every human? I don't think so. And it's the same for a motor. You know, when you plot out oil change intervals, you know, yes, it may say on the bottle 25,000, 15,000 miles, but what engine is that oil going into? Is it a healthy engine? Is it an engine that's able to handle the use it sees? Is it an engine that's modified? We need to pay attention to all of this when we're making our recommendations. And had to with this ISB. And so I wasn't going to merely coast on the good reputation of the ISB 6-7. I wanted to see how the results, what narrative these results gave us. And that's how we help the customer. Not merely following what's on a bottle. You know, not merely saying, well, you know, those ISBs are bulletproof, and a lot of them are. But by carefully guiding those intervals, making sure that we are looking out for problems, seeing if the oil is holding up, seeing how those metals respond to harder use. You know, it wasn't merely offering a suggestion anymore. It was giving a recommendation that we had full confidence in. So I'm looking forward to hearing back from this engine. I'm really continuing to get the most out of every oil change. And you can count on us whenever you send in a sample, whether you are interested in extended oil use or not. If we see a result that's kind of troubling, you know, where we might want to dial it back, we'll be sure to let you know. And on the flip side, if you ever mention an interest in extended oil use, we will by all means throw out a recommendation, one that we've carefully extracted from the numbers, and go from there. And now it's time for our Q&A with the analyst. This question came to us on Twitter from Frank Kumro at Frigid Code. So Frank asks, when analyzing results at Bob is the Oil Guy, a common complaint is that flashpoint isn't an accurate way to measure fuel dilution. Can you discuss why you use flashpoint and why you feel it is accurate enough? All right, thank you for sending that question along. Starting at the top, the flashpoint has been a part of our testing regimen since day one, and for good reason. So the flashpoint has stood the test of time, not just in the walls of Blackstone, but beyond. So this methodology has roots dating back to 1908 to check for, you guessed it, contamination. And thanks to methodology and standards maintained by the American Society for Testing and Materials, ASTM for short, the flashpoint has remained a vital and valid test in checking for solvent-based contamination. So a lot has changed, you know, since 1908, right? The Cubs won another World Series, but something hasn't changed. And that is the fact that solvent-based contamination will lower a flashpoint. And from the flashpoint temperature, you can extrapolate how much fuel is present. And another thing I want to keep in mind, too, just because the methodology has its roots in the 19th century, the practices, the methodology, the apparatus, what's approved, what is considered valid by ASTM, it's maintained over the years. So this is by no means a Blackstone test, a test that, you know, we simply manage strictly on our own in terms of what we adhere to. The methodology, we specifically run test D92 if you want to learn more about the exact method. And also we dig into a lot of this in even greater detail on episode 19 of the podcast. So I would say that A, it's a test that stood the test of time because the principle of solvent-based contamination, lowering a flash point, hasn't gone anywhere. And B, we're looking at a method that isn't just confined to the walls of Blackstone. Their methods are used not just in Blackstone, but really any laboratory that's trying to accomplish testing of petroleum-based products is going to rely on them. And yes, indeed, I will grant folks this. There is more than one way to skin a cat. So in addition to the flashpoint, there exist methods such as gas chromatography, FTIR spectroscopy. But really, it just comes down to what suits your lab, what suits your facility, what are you familiar with, what do you know well, what are you able to, you know, have a consistent reference point for. And the flashpoint has just never failed us in terms of identifying fuel. And not only that, one thing I want folks to keep in mind too is going beyond the fuel percentage, looking at how that fuel is impacting the engine. For me, that's just as important. Is it thinning the viscosity? Are we looking at diluted additives? Are we looking at unusual wear patterns that might be related to fuel? Going beyond the flash point and using that in conjunction with the remaining elements or aspects of the standard analysis is key in determining fuel's impact. Now, one thing that I think can trip folks up is that we have a reporting limit. So we can't determine more than 10% fuel. So if a flash point is so low, eventually it's going to be to the point where we know there's at least 10% and can't go up from there. But the thing I would keep in mind too, if that does frustrate folks, is that whether it's, you know, we talked about this on a recent episode, whether it's 10, whether it's 8, whether it's 7, you know, once you get so well over 2% on a consistent basis, the likelihood of a fuel system issue just can't be ignored. So you're going to need to inspect further regardless of that amount. If it's 7, 8, 9, 10, 20, 30, a problem exists. And not just based on the amount of fuel, we'll look to see how it's impacting the engine. So the flashpoint with deep roots, methods that are maintained over the years, not just by Blackstone, but by ASTM methodology, that's what keeps this test valid, not only in our eyes, but the eyes of the greater community when it comes to testing petroleum-based products. So we're always open to discussing our tests, you know, why we use them, the advantages of them, the knowledge gained. So thank you so much for that question. We appreciate it. If you have any more, don't hesitate to send them our way. So we look forward to hearing back from you all on what engines you're curious about as far as, you know, what we've seen from an average standpoint, how we extend the intervals. We're going to obviously, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to attack a 6.0, a 7.3 episode. So if you're an enthusiast, especially of diesel engines, you know these models, and you might have some preconceptions about what we expect from them. We look forward to addressing all of those in our upcoming episode. So stay tuned for that. Again, another shout out to Kevin from Ultra 4 Jones. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you to everyone who is submitting reviews, who is giving us a rating on iTunes or whatever platform you're listening on. That's so appreciated. So until next time, this is Blackstone Joe. Thanks for listening.